Amen. And if you would be so kind, let's read from the book of John, chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. We're going to continue along the same lines as last week. There are people that really struggle with understanding the Holy Ghost, understanding speaking in tongues. I don't think I did a good enough job last week. So we're going to look into it again. John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. And of course, the scripture here is where Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. You've got to understand something, that Nicodemus was the second most powerful religious figure in Jerusalem. He did not want to be seen with Jesus during the day. He wanted to be hidden. And Jesus told him some things about being born again of the water and of the Spirit. He said, "Marvel not, unless you're born again, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven." Can anybody explain to me what that means? If you're not born again, you're not going to make it. Scripture says, born of the water, born of the Spirit. But we're going to focus on the second one, born of the Spirit. "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." Actually, I was going to read it from the Amplified, I think. Yes, I was going to read it from the Amplified. "Marvel not," don't be surprised, astonished, "at my telling you, you must be born anew from above. The wind blows, it breathes where it wills. And though you hear its sound, yet you neither know where it comes from, nor where it is going. So are some of them." No. So is everyone. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Amen. And I'm going to, if you'll put up that next slide, Clay, I've got my controller. I'm upgrading the computer, so my controller is not working until I figure out how to make it work again. And we're going to talk about understanding the different type of tongues. So I'm going to ask Brother Rod, would you come up here and pray and ask the blessing of the Lord upon the preaching today? And I'm going to try to take my time and not go too fast, so, and then we'll have a nice dinner.
Okay, bow heads. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for this service. We want to thank you for the preaching. We want to thank you for everyone that is here. Lord, we need you to open up our understanding. Lord, guide us in your word. And thank you for the pastor and the first lady, and thank you for the feast that we're going to have. In Jesus' blessed name we pray, everyone say amen.
Amen. God bless you. If you said in Jesus' name, you can be seated. The Holy Ghost. Now, the problem we've got today is there are many, many different teachings about the Holy Ghost, about speaking in tongues. People tell you, well, you can't speak in tongues in church. As a matter of fact, it's been done away with. I don't even know how you got the Holy Ghost, because it doesn't happen anymore. There's only one problem. They came too late to tell me that. Amen? 34 years ago, God filled me with the Holy Ghost. 34 years, 1 month, and 7 days. God filled me with the Holy Ghost. I was a young Catholic boy. I didn't know anything. Didn't know that I wasn't supposed to get the Holy Ghost. Didn't know it had passed away. Well, the reason was because it hasn't passed away. Amen. Go ahead and put up the next slide, if you would, Brother Clay. Now, there's actually four different ways, and we're going to look at these, that speaking in tongues. And when we talk about speaking in tongues, we're talking about when God fills you with the Holy Ghost. What does Acts 2:38 say? "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift." And we're going to get into that later on. The gift of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, however your Bible puts it. We talk about Holy Ghost, we talk about Spirit, we talk about Holy Spirit, we talk about Spirit of God. It's all the same thing. There's not two spirits. Amen? There's not two spirits. Now, would somebody close those back doors there, or all our cold air is going to run downstairs. It gets hot. up here real quick. If you look here, this is from the church that we rent from. I really like that. One Señor, un Señor, one God, one Lord, one faith. I guess that's in Korean. One baptism. There's only one God. His Spirit is not divided. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is just that portion of the way that he works with mankind. Amen? It's not a separate spirit. There's one God. Now, when you receive the Holy Ghost, the Bible says that you will speak with tongues. There's going to be that sound. That's a scripture we read. And I've been having some fun preaching on that lately. The wind blows where it goes. You hear the sound of it. You don't know where the wind comes from or the wind goes. And so is every single person that is born of the Spirit. No one is exempt. When the Spirit enters the person, the Spirit of God now, there is going to be a sound. Not only is there going to be a sound, but if you look at, you ever see some of the storms? Everybody remember Hurricane Sandy? Were you here for Hurricane Sandy when that wind blew? Anybody not here for Hurricane Sandy? Everybody's quiet today. You're afraid I'm going to get crazy, right? I might anyway. Well, when the wind came through, everything was blown all over the place. And that fits what happened on the day of Pentecost. I know I preached this, but this is really good. When the wind blew and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, not only did they get filled with the Holy Ghost, not only did they speak in tongues, but I believe the wind blew them around a little bit, like, hallelujah, you know? You ever see people do that? Get under the influence of the Spirit? Anybody ever see anybody drunk in the Holy Ghost? So endued by the power of God that they can't walk straight. Just that wind is blowing. We've had some pretty interesting things happen in this church. Well, the wind still blows. So there's four types of tongues that accompany or the way they're used in receiving the Holy Ghost. Not receiving the Holy Ghost, but from receiving the Holy Ghost to living for God. Number one is the tongues that accompany the gift of the Holy Ghost. Number two, the tongues that are used in prayer. Number three, the tongues that are used in public worship without interpretation. Four tongues for interpretation. Number four is where everybody gets confused. But let's go to the next slide, Brother Clay. Actually, you could go two ahead. Because this one, I got my cheat sheet here of the slides I put together. Now, number one, we're talking about now tongues that accompany the gift of the Holy Ghost. Number one, you need to realize that speaking in tongues was promised by Jesus and was by faith, or I got my words mixed up there, didn't I? So we realize that by faith. I guess I got my slide mixed up. We realize, no, you went ahead a couple of slides, brother. Go back one. Go back one. Brother Clay, can you go back one? Okay. So we realize now that speaking in tongues was promised by Jesus and was by faith. Yes, I got those words mixed up. To accompany belief. Now, a lot of people say they believe on Jesus, right? But what happens when you believe on Jesus? Is belief in and of itself the end? Absolutely not. Belief is just the starting place. This is why in Acts 16, when the Philippian jailer was going to kill himself, the apostle said to him, he said, do thyself no harm. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all thy house, and thou shalt be saved. Didn't say you were saved. But he said, you shall be saved. Because the first step in the faith journey and living for God and being saved is believing. None of us can be saved without believing in Jesus. Amen? Amen. So by faith, you understand that when you believe the scriptures, that there's something going to happen to you when the Spirit of God comes upon you. Amen. Here we use the scripture, Mark 16 and 17. These signs will accompany those who believe in my name. One of the signs was they will speak in new tongues. Amen. He's not talking about that you're not going to curse. He's talking about a supernatural thing that was going to happen. Amen. I've heard people say, well, that means that you're not supposed to curse when you're a Christian. Well, that's not what the scripture's talking about, because there's so many other witnesses that tell us that. Go ahead and go to the next slide then, if you'd be so kind. Now, number two, we need to realize that by faith, it is the Holy Ghost which gives you the words. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you do not learn how to speak in tongues. Where's those cards again? You don't learn how to speak in tongues. The Bible says, as the Spirit. The problem that people have is they are not sure how to yield themselves to the Holy Ghost, or their faith is not to the point where they believe the promises of God. The problem is not God. Amen? God still gives the Holy Ghost. People still speak in tongues. Amen? So where's the problem? The problem's not with God. The problem is with us, and sometimes we try to use our understanding instead of using faith. Well, I don't understand how this could happen. Well, what you have to do is stop using your understanding. And I'll go into some scriptures at the end concerning that. So go to the next slide, please. We need to realize also that speaking in tongues was prophesied by the prophets of old. For example, in Isaiah in the Old Testament, this is the sign of the rest. Does everybody understand what the rest was? What is the rest in the Old Testament? Sabbath. The Sabbath was the rest. You would go on the Sabbath, and even today, many Jews still follow the Sabbath. We're Friday night sun is down. They got charts. You might even see them walking around some places. You know, 7:07. At 7:08, you can't do anything. They will even pay people to come turn their lights on and off. No work. I have a lot of experience in that. I worked in a lot of Orthodox communities. They would leave the refrigerator running. Not the refrigerator, but the stove running for 24 hours. So let's go to the slide, read the scripture. To whom will he teach knowledge? Isaiah 28, 9 through 13. We're going to use Amplified here. To whom will he teach knowledge? And to whom will he make understand the message? Those who are babies, just weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Go to the next one. You know, the Bible tells us what? He says, unless you become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of God. What does a little child do? A little child believes. If I was to tell a certain person, a little person with blonde hair, that I was going to take her for ICECREAM, she'd go like, yeah! That's what she does now. And she wouldn't say, well, you know, we're in church. We can't do that in church. She would just say, yes. She'd go like that. She's getting really funny. So we have to come to the same place with God where we can actually believe the promises of God. Amen? And this is why I tell people, and I've told some of you this, the older you get when you come to God, the more you have to work on your faith, because you already have a set of ingrained values, and you have to overcome the philosophies and the traditions that you already have in life. Now, some people can do it very easily, but they're very, very rare. Most people have to struggle with it. Amen? They have to struggle with that ability. So he goes on in verse 10, for it is his prophets repeating over and over, Line upon line, the King James says, precept upon precept. Here it says precept upon precept, precept upon precept, rule upon rule, rule upon rule, here a little and there a little. Isn't this what I've been doing? Go over some things. Sometimes we need to have our faith built. Amen? Your faith. How many of you, let me ask you a question. You can show your hands if you want. Because of the preaching, how many of you feel like over the last year your faith has increased? Okay. We got a few hands. We got more. Some people are afraid to say anything. Some, maybe somebody hasn't grown. I don't know. So your faith is going to increase. And part of my job as a preacher, I cannot give you the Holy Ghost. Right? I don't have any magic fairy powder. I don't know if you realize this, but Pentecostals have been accused in that they say they throw something on them at people like crazy. Now, I can pray for you. I can lay hands on you. But ultimately, it's your faith that's going to have to experience the gift of God. I can't do it for you. And we need to quit looking to a man and look to the Lord. I don't know if you can believe this, but nobody laid hands on me when I got the Holy Ghost. Now, we do have scriptural precedent for that, where they laid hands on them, they received the Holy Ghost. But really, there's not one person in this world that I can think that anybody has to have hands laid on them to receive the Holy Ghost, because it's an issue of faith between you and God. Now, sometimes God may use that for a sign, so that God is with the preacher and so on and so forth. So that can happen. That can happen. So he goes on to the 11th verse. Let's go to the next verse. No, but the Lord will teach the rebels in a more humiliating way by men with what? Stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, says Isaiah, and teach them his lessons. Go ahead. To these complaining Jews of the Lord, it said, this is the true rest that you shall give the weary. This is the refreshing, yet they would not listen. How many people will not listen? How many people have you run into? You tell them that when you get the Holy Ghost, you're going to talk in tongues. And they say, no, I don't believe that. I run into them all the time. But the Bible says, this is our rest. So if the rest was what? The rest was the Sabbath. Then this is the Sabbath wherewith the weary shall Sabbath. This is what the Lord intended. He didn't intend for that day, that Saturday, that Friday night to Saturday morning. I think Miriam, you work for some Orthodox Jews. Are they real strict on the Sabbath? Yeah, she knows what I'm talking about. But they miss the meaning because the Holy Ghost is that rest. This is why you can work 6 days. I used to work before I went full-time in the church. I used to work 6.5 days a week. I had to have a certain amount of overtime to survive, and I feel the difference. But I could come to the house of the Lord, and we felt just a powerful worship earlier, didn't we? How many of you, be honest now, how many of you feel refreshed after that worship session that we had today? Amen. You feel refreshed. You can come into the house of the Lord. You can be all tired. You can be all wore out. But you can leave the house feeling great. Why is that? Because this is the rest. This is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. It still happens today. Still happens today. Go to the next scripture. Therefore the word of the Lord shall be unto them, just monotonous repeating of precept upon precept, precept upon precept. Isn't that, sometimes they say, is the pastor preaching on that again? You're fitting the scripture. Boy, that just slapped somebody upside the head, didn't it? This is the way the Holy Ghost works. It really is. Go to the next slide. Now, Isaiah 11 and 10. Remember we talked about the rest, right? The rest being the Sabbath. What does Isaiah 11 and 10 say? And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, and it's talking about Jesus Christ, which shall stand for an ensign to the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek. Okay? Obviously, we have very few Jews here today. Brother Rick has some Jewish heritage. My son-in-law is Jewish. Is anybody else here Jewish today? Anybody? Okay, so the Gentiles, the Jews are not really seeking this. They're blinded for whatever reason, and the scripture tells us. So he said, his rest is going to be what? What does glorious mean? It's something you really can't even put into words, is it? When you receive the Holy Ghost and that speaking in tongues begins to come out, it is a glorious experience. For me, it felt like something just began to rise in my stomach. I just had the faith that said, okay, I believe God. This is what it is. And some of you, same thing. Some of you, it took a little while. How many of you, I wonder, how many of you took a year or longer to receive the Holy Ghost? Rod, how long did it take you? 4 years? Miriam was about 6 or 7 years, right? Anybody else take you a really, really long time? So when I say, now to Miriam and Mike, when I say it's not up to me to lay hands on you, it has to do with your faith between you and God. Is that correct? Amen. That's correct. So if you haven't spoken in tongues, if you haven't received the Holy Ghost like that, don't get discouraged. Build your faith. And I remember very distinctly working with Miriam for a long time, building her faith. Amen. And that's what we have to have. If it's in the Word now, you got to believe the Word. Right? If it's not in the Word, you don't have to believe it, but it's there. Praise God. Go ahead and go to the next slide, if you would be so kind. Again, my controller's messed up, so trying to upgrade these computers. I got it where I couldn't work on this stuff in my office, so now everything's getting better, but it's still messed up. Number 2 and 3 are going to be together because they're very close. Tongues used in prayer and tongues used in worship, public worship without interpretation. There's nothing wrong with... Now, you got to understand something. When tongues for interpretation comes out, it's going to be loud. It's going to be... How do I put that? Like almost like... you know what it is. It's not talking about people quietly talking in tongues and praising God and praying and worshiping. It's not what it's talking about. So go to the next slide. Understanding that when you speak in tongues, you are talking to God. You understand that? Even though occasionally it may be understood by someone as a human language, as it was on the day of Pentecost. You saw that on the day of Pentecost. Now you've got to understand now there was about either 13 or 18 language groups represented, but there was 120 people that received the Holy Ghost. And when Paul in Acts chapter 2 preached, he lifted up his voice. Paul was not preaching in tongues. That's another thing that you've been told. You got to watch out who you, if you listen to stuff that tears your faith down instead of building your faith up, you're listening to the wrong stuff. Well, you might say, well, Pastor, they just look at it different than you. Well, if what I'm showing you is in the Word of God, they look at it different than God. Come on. So why would you want to partake of something that makes you doubt and makes you your faith go down instead of your faith going up? Doesn't make sense. Right? This is why if you've got a revelation, of course, some of these things only come by revelation. If you read Luke chapter 24, the 43rd to the 45th verse, somewhere in there, it says, then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. What we have does not come from this. What we have comes from the spirit of revelation. That God opens his word to you. I'm going to prove that to you later on as we go on. Go to the next slide if you would. 1 Corinthians 14:2. He that speaks in unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. However, in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Okay, and I'm going to go on a little bit. Go ahead to the next slide. Don't expect to understand. We're going to stop here for a second. Don't expect to understand what you're saying when you're praying in tongues. He said, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now, why would God, I'm going to use this thing here, okay? Why would God, we have so many people that say, well, you can't speak in tongues in church. You go home and speak in tongues, or, you know, just don't show us that. If one of the things that we're supposed to do in church is pray, we do pray in church, right? No, you know what? I take it back. Not everybody prays in church. You think I'm joking? There's a lady, she's not at the lady that's about to have the baby. She may have had the baby, I'm not sure. She's having a lot of problems she's on bed rest and stuff. But she came to me and she says, I called my friend that I told him, you know, there's a church that actually prays for people. You know, we don't do it all the time, but we have prayer lines, we anoint the sick, we pray for folks, pray for your spirit. Apparently, that's not very usual. Why would not people pray for people? Why would you come to church and not pray? If you're praying and the Spirit moves upon you, why can't you pray in tongues? How many of you, when you begin to worship, you lift up your hands and all of a sudden you find yourself speaking in tongues? Nobody may know it. But when a person speaks in tongues for interpretation, it's like a trumpet. I can recognize that. Okay, so when people tell you, no, you just got to keep it down. Part of the reason people are like that is because in order for a person to receive the Holy Ghost, they have to turn over everything to God. And you know what the hardest thing to turn over to God is? And that's what the Bible tells us. The tongue, which is the littlest member, does the most damage. How many of you have ever had something really hateful that hurt you, said to you? Sure, all of us. I've learned to ignore it. I really have. Maybe sometimes I'll even tell them, you know, your mama wears army boots or something like that. I don't let that stuff bother me anymore. There's an old saying, it says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. You can't be hurt by somebody's words unless you allow them to hurt you. You say, well, I didn't know what they thought. Well, who cares what they think? If you know the truth, who cares what somebody thinks and it's not the truth? Right? So stop worrying about what other people say. Worry about you and God. You say, well, they lied about me. So, you know the truth. There's one thing I've understood. I don't know why I'm on this, but there's one thing that I have understood now, and it's come to me because I've had several attacks from ministers in my life over the last 30 years. When the scripture said, we read earlier, it said, you have no need to fight. Just stand still and let God fight the battle. God always reveals a lie. Remember that. It may take God a little while. And the reason is he's wanting them to repent. But sooner or later, what's not truth gets revealed. Okay? If somebody says something bad about you, it's a lie. You know it's a lie. Just know that sooner or later, that God is going to take care of it. All right? What does the Bible say? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. When you're a child of God and somebody does some horrible things to you, God's going to take care of you. He'll give them time to repent first. But I promise you, God's going to deal with some stuff. I've seen it happen. I've seen three major instances in my life where it's always the same. Now I have a friend, another minister friend, facing some stuff. And I told him, I said, just sit back and wait. And I explained to him what happened. God will reveal this thing. Now, how did that happen? Because I've gone from faith to faith. When you go through troubles, your faith gets built because you see God answering stuff. That's off the subject, but somebody needed that today. So go to the next slide, please. Tongues for interpretation. This is where everybody gets messed up. Go ahead. One more. Having then gifts differing. Now, this is from Hebrews now. I want to let you understand something now. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether it's prophecy. I'm going to approach this a little bit different way. Let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith, or ministry let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching. Now, he calls that what? In verse 6, he says, a gift. Right? Go ahead to the next slide. Or he that exhorts on exhortation, he that gives. And I'm going to use giving again. He that gives, let him do with simplicity. Now, the Bible tells us that there, here it tells us giving is a gift. How many of you realize that God has spoken to every believer and tells you to give? Right? Well, why is he calling giving here a gift? So go to the next slide. Malachi, let's look at the giving and the gift of giving. All are expected by God to give. Notice I didn't say they're expected by the pastor. Okay? God expects us to pay our tithes and give offerings. Now, if you've got any question on tithing, I put a booklet together back there. It's called New Testament Tithing. Tithing still exists in the New Testament. Amen. So, if you've got a problem with it, you just deal with God. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. Number, verse 8, Malachi chapter 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. And they say, how did I rob you? I didn't rob you. And he says, in tithes and offerings. Isn't it amazing? We have in this church, not our church, but the church that we rent from, they have, I think, 6 AA meetings a week. And they can barely get enough to cover the light bill. And that bugs me. You know why that bugs me? Because they'll go out, if they got a problem, they'll go out and spend $100 on a bottle of booze. Right? Anybody know how much a case of beer is? I don't know. Bottle of whiskey? 40, 50 bucks? I don't know. I told you, I walked through the alcohol section in Whole Foods, and I saw organic vodka. I had a laugh. That stuff's going to still kill you. You know, they're trying, okay, this stuff is good. Yeah, go ahead and drink it. You'll find out. You drink enough, you get cirrhosis of the liver and so on and so forth. So go to the next slide. But anyway, what I was saying before I get off my track of my mind is folks will go ahead and they'll do what they want to do. They'll spend all kinds of stupid money. How many of you ever drank a lot? You don't have to raise your hand. How much money did you save every month when you quit drinking? Or quit smoking marijuana? What you're doing is you're paying tithes to the devil. And more. Come on. How about smoking? We used to preach against smoking. The doctors preach against smoking now. They do it better. And they put these pictures on. This is what's going to happen to your lungs and so on and so forth. Do you know that these people say, well, I can't afford to pay my tithes. I got to have my booze and I got to have my cigarettes. Well, no wonder you can't pay your tithes. Tithes is a car payment. Cigarettes is a car payment and insurance these days. Now, I used to smoke 34 years ago. God delivered me from that. But back then, I could get a carton of cigarettes for $3. What am I seeing now? What? $10, $8, $10 a pack? I was paying 30 cents. It's crazy. Then you sit there and wonder why I never got money. It's all going up in smoke. Whether it's cigarettes, whether it's marijuana, whether it's alcohol, you're sitting there throwing your life away. And then you sit there and say, I couldn't possibly pay my tithes. Well, guess what? You're giving the devil your tithes. That's free. Go to the next slide, please. He said, you're cursed with a curse. I don't usually like to do this. I like to say on the blessings. But the Bible says that if you will not pay your tithes and give offerings, that you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. Notice he didn't say you robbed. He didn't say you robbed the priesthood. He didn't say that. He said you robbed me. Well, if God is a spirit, what in the world does he need tithes for? Because a spirit can't spend money. Go to the next slide. Bring ye some of the tithes. Oh, it says all? That hurts, doesn't it? I think there's a part that talks about a false tithe, too. Not here, but somewhere else. If you're paying your tithes, you need to pay your tithes like you should. And don't say you're paying your tithes when you're not paying them like you should. You say, well, how did you get here from speaking in tongues? I don't know. Yes, God. This is the way he gave it to me this morning. Why? That there may be meat in my house. And prove, everybody say, prove me. You read the Bible, read it backwards and forwards. There's only one place that God says, prove me. Amen? He didn't tell Gideon to lay the fleece out and prove me. Gideon did that. The one place that God says to prove me is through finances. What does that mean? Just go ahead and do it and worry about the consequences later? If God is God, he'll provide. If not, he's a liar. Amen. If I will not open to you, and I'll never forget, I always used to think about his window, but many years ago now, Brother Soon said, windows. I remember that still, Brother Soon. Windows of heaven. God can bless you from many different directions. We only think about one direction. But God, and I use this example. I don't want to go too long because I know we're going to eat and we're getting there. But I remember one time I was praying. We had no money when we first moved to New Jersey. I had a job, but paying rent and 3 kids, you know, the whole thing. We couldn't afford a microwave. So I went and prayed. I was paying my tithes. You know, I could have said, well, Lord, I can't pay my tithes this week because I got to buy a microwave. That would have been okay, right? I didn't do that. So long story short, I was working for GE. I had to take away a broken one that they're supposed to throw it away, but they said I could keep it. I put the little fuse in it, still in my kitchen. I think that when I finally sell my house and move, I'm going to take that with me. Because that was 22 years. How many of you have 20-year-old microwaves that still work? I won't take that with me as the how God blesses you. Amen. Now, why didn't he give me the money? I don't know. It was like an $800 microwave 20 years ago, so it was real expensive. But he says, I'm going to pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Go to the next slide. Some of us are not blessed because we do not trust God. And that's what really comes down to. Can you trust the Lord or can you not trust the Lord? And I will rebuke the devourers for your sake. Brother Leo had quit his job. He's been working. It's not like he doesn't have a job. He's got a handyman business. So he's working. But I told him, I said, Brother Leo, I said, you pay your tithes and you give yours. Right, Brother Leo? You're paying your tithes. Not fake tithes. You're paying your tithes. You give offerings. The Bible says, I'm going to rebuke the devil for your sake. Now, if you ever get to the place where the business isn't working, then you got to say, God, is there something else that you want me to do? But God will never let us down. Amen? And you can prove God. And already your business is going up. You're getting work and so on and so forth. So, he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Go down to the next slide, please. And all nations shall call you blessed. My father used to tell me, he said, I don't know what in the world you stepped in. My father could be a little bit crude sometimes. I don't know what you stepped in, but I don't understand this. They just didn't understand. They wanted us to quit church, quit paying our tithes. I told them, I can't do that. They're going to call you blessed. You shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Go to the next slide now. Give, Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. The problem is some folks want it to be given before they give. Right? It's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches first, what did they do when they crossed the Jordan River? He said, when you step into the water, the river is going to cease. And that's exactly what it did. He said, give and it shall be given. Pressed down, shaken together. Shall men, you'll get some of the devil's money. Shall men give into your bosom for the same measure that you mete out, withal it shall be measured to you. I haven't said this for years, but if you cheap out on God, God's going to cheap out on you. Do I need to say that again? With the same measure that you give, he's going to give back. So if you say it can't happen, God, I can't do it. Next slide. Now, the reason I did that is because according to the scripture, everybody's expected by God to give. But there is a gift that we read about. He said the gift of giving. Those are the folks, they can give way beyond their tithes. They can pay their tithes by faith. They're gifted that way. Some of us look and say, I don't know how in the world they do it. It's because God has gifted them. Amen. Go ahead to the next one. Now, remember what he said? You all must be born from above. The wind blows where it will. You hear the sound where it makes. Does not come, know where it's coming. And you say, well, I thought you were going to talk about the gift of the Spirit here. Hang on. Where it comes and where it's going, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So everybody, just as everybody is expected to give, everybody, there's going to be a sound that accompanies them when they're born again. Does anybody believe what I'm preaching? Amen. I know we might have one or two skeptics, but you know what? Take the word at face value. Have faith in the word. Go to the next slide. Just as there is giving and the gift of giving, there is tongues and the gift of tongues. And there is also faith and the gift of faith. Go ahead. Next slide. Two Greek words. I'll show you them. Next slide. Here is the word for receiving. Oh, don't tell me it messed up. Go to the next one. I guess the devil's not happy. There we go. Okay, now, when it talks about you're going to receive the gift, this is the word for gift, doreia, which is a gratuity, a gift. It comes from the Greek word doron, which is specifically a sacrifice. Does anybody know where the sacrifice came from? We didn't give it. Jesus gave it on the cross. He sacrificed his life so we could live. That's the doreia. That's the doron. That's the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, go ahead to the next slide. Now, we talk about in Corinthians, it talks about the gift of the Spirit. How many of you, I only speak in tongues, so I don't have any other language besides English. But I know we have some folks that have different languages here. We've got Filipino. I know we got Trinidadian. You say, well, they speak English. Well, they speak the King's English. Brother Rick still can't get in his head that, you know, we use wrenches here, not spanners. So we have a lot of fun together. But for you folks that Miriam speaks Armenian and Russian, is there some words in Armenian that are like this that can have two different meanings? Or is Armenian very specific? Armenian is very specific. You see, English is not. English, you can take your dear wife to go deer hunting, right? Or your deer is very dear to you. So there's words in English that actually have different meanings, and this is why I think that folks have a hard time learning English. Now, is that correct? You have a hard time learning English because the words can have so many different meanings? Rose, is that correct? Yeah. Sister Gladys, is Spanish is a little bit more direct. So English, you can have it translated from the Greek or from the Hebrew and actually can have a couple of different meanings. And here we are, a great example, the gift of the Holy Ghost and the gift of the Spirit. The gift of the Spirit is the charisma, which means a divine, not, it was a gratuity, Derea said a gratuity, but here we have a divine gratuity, a spiritual endowment, a miraculous facility. It's a little bit more than receiving the Holy Ghost. Just as a person that is gifted to give can give above and beyond what normal people can give, and a person that has the gift of faith can exercise faith in a greater way than a person that has a measure of faith, so it is with tongues. There's the normal speaking in tongues. There's the speaking in tongues by the gift of the Spirit, and that is for interpretation. This is why a person that is normally, they're just exercising the doreia, that gift of the Spirit that's in them. They can pray in tongues. It's fine. When they're worshiping, they can lift up their hands, talk in tongues. That's okay. The Bible says tongues are a sign for the unbeliever. I don't have any problem people speaking tongues in church. Now, if they act stupid, I got a problem. But nobody sincerely worships. And what I mean by act stupid, sometimes people do things to get attention. You understand that, right? That's acting dumb. Because you're not trying to build up the body. You're just trying to get attention. That's the wrong way. That's the wrong way. So Here we go. Go ahead to the next slide. We're just about done. We're going to read one more set of scriptures, and we got to go eat here. Dorea, Doron versus Charisma, two different descriptions. Next slide. Okay, here's where faith comes in. Do you choose to believe the word, the devil, or man? There's three things that you can choose to believe. Man has his thinking, the devil has his lies, and God has his word. Which do you choose to believe? Is this making sense? If this makes sense, somebody say amen, please. Okay, well, that's good. Next slide. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 16. And then we're going to be done. As for myself, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony and the evidence of the mystery of the secret of God in lofty words and eloquence or human philosophy and wisdom. Did you know there's some people that are gifted in eloquent? They have the gift of oratory. It's not necessarily a gift of God, because there's plenty of people that, you know, just like somebody would make a good plumber, somebody is really good. Damien, you are the best landscaper I have ever seen. He makes it look like my lawn has a haircut. Brother Leo is also very, very good. Very, very good. But when Damien comes to cut the grass at the house, it's like he got a military haircut on my lawn. It looks beautiful. He's gifted in that. There are people that have the same kind of gift in oratory. And you mistake that for the anointing. It's not anointing. Amen. You might understand that at some point. Next slide. For I resolved to know nothing, to be acquainted with nothing, to make a display of the knowledge of nothing, and to be conscious of nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is why many times I'll say, I don't want to know the down and dirty details, because that when I get up to preach, you're going to sit there and say, oh, the pastor's preaching at me. I may have touched somebody today, and I may have done some things, and you didn't, and I didn't know, you know I didn't know anything, so that's what I like. That's what I like. Go back to one. I'm not done there. Verse 3. And I was in weakness and fear, great trembling after I had come among you. Now go ahead. Nope, you're going the wrong way. You're going back. There we go. And my language and my message was not set forth in persuasive, enticing, and plausible words of wisdom. Again, the gift, the human gift of oratory, but they were in the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm going to tell you how anointed Paul was. You know how anointed Paul was? The Bible says in the book of Acts that Paul preached. There was a guy called Eutychus. The place was so crowded, Eutychus was sitting up there. Paul preached so long, and he was so boring, that Eutychus fell off, broke his neck. They had to go pray for him and bring him back to life. We complain if the message more in 15, 20, 30 minutes. You want to have apostolic church? Apostolic church included preaching and teaching. Amen? We're focusing much on teaching on Thursday night, because we need to understand. There's a lot of fluff that goes on in preaching, and I'm kind of preaching and teaching today, but we need understanding. And the Bible says, because you have rejected understanding, I will reject you. You have to have understanding. Okay, so we go on, and he says, I was in the demonstration of the power, Holy Spirit and the power of God operating in me. Next scripture. Next slide. So that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men and human philosophy, but in the power of God. Next slide. We got to get done here. Yet when we were among you full-grown, spiritual, mature Christians who are ripe in understanding, we do impart a higher wisdom and a knowledge of the divine plan previously hidden, but is indeed not a wisdom of this present age. Don't you understand? The King James says it a little bit different. But the wisdom that we have is not from this age. What I'm doing today, I don't know if you realize it or not, but this is excellent teaching. I guess nobody thinks so. I don't even feel bad. Because you know what a preacher's got to do sometimes, Brother Rod? You got to go ahead and teach. Doesn't matter what anybody says. Whether they believe you, they don't believe you. At some point, you have to grow spiritual enough or grow maturity enough. Not that I'm so spiritual, but you have to come to the place where it doesn't matter, that you can teach the word of God, because they rejected Jesus. Do you understand that? They looked at Jesus. They crucified him. Let me ask you a question. The Old Testament, it tells us that they wanted to kill the prophets. And we talk about prophecy today, and it's a little bit different than we get guys to stand up and say, I got a headache. You got a headache. God's going to bless you. God's going to do this. He's going to do that. How many of you want to kill the prophet today? Nobody. Some people want to kill a pastor because he makes them mad. That's more of a true prophet. Because the Holy Ghost gets in there and it speaks. The guys that are sitting up there prophesying sweet things, that's what the Bible says in the Old Testament. They're prophesying good things, sweet things. They're not a God. True prophet, they're going to have some people want to kill them. Or at least be very mad at them. Amen. Go ahead, the next slide. But rather, what we are setting forth is a wisdom of God once hidden from the human understanding and now revealed to us by God, that wisdom which God devised and decreed in the ages for our glorification to lift us up into the glory of his presence. Go ahead in the next verse. None of the rulers of this age or world perceived and understood, for if they had known this, the devil would have never crucified Jesus if he knew who he was. I would have loved to have been there when either the devil saw it or he got word back, Jesus is risen. He had no clue what he was about. He saw the word. You know, when the devil talks to you, he doesn't know the word like you think he knows the word. He couldn't see that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus was God in the flesh. He got psyched out. Go ahead, next slide. But on the contrary is what the scripture says. What eye has not seen, ear has not heard, he has not entered in the heart of man, all that God has prepared, made and keeps ready for those who love him, who hold him in affectionate reverence, promptly obeying him, gratefully recognizing that benefits that he has bestowed. Go ahead to the next slide, please. Yet to us God has unveiled and revealed them by and through. Have any of you had been prayer that God has revealed to you that if you will walk with him, he's going to change some things? You see some things coming. God reveals some things to you. And actually, I'm reading the wrong scripture today because I wanted to talk about a different scripture. It's probably 1 Corinthians, but this is good too. I always get these mixed up. Go ahead to the next slide. Now, we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Ghost, who is from God, given to us that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessing so freely and lavishly bestowed of us. Sometimes we don't understand how much God has blessed us. I am telling you. I was up to a church that's a good guy, good pastor. He's a friend of mine. He's going to be coming preaching here in September, I think. And I went there. And I saw some pictures and so on and so forth. And boy, that place looked big. I got there, and maybe about, for our church, 4 rows back, that's the size of the church there. And I was like, wow. And God spoke to me, and he says, you don't realize that I've been blessing you and I've been blessing your church. Slapped me upside the head. And said, I didn't even recognize the blessings that were coming my way. God is blessing us, folks. You've got some blessings in your life because you have obeyed the word. Amen. Go to the next slide, please. And we are setting these truths forth in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Ghost, combining and interpreting spiritual. Now, who's doing this? The preacher's doing this, combining, interpreting. Haven't I been doing a little bit of interpreting in English today? I'm not talking in tongues, I'm speaking in tongues, but I'm interpreting in English. This is what the word is telling you. Come on, amen. Yeah, some of us will walk out of here and say, I don't believe that. You add to your own spiritual blindness. In whom, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 5, in whom the God of this world has blinded the mind of those that believe not. If you want to get out of spiritual blindness, choose to believe the word. If I'm preaching the word, choose to believe me. Come on, amen. Combining and interpreting spiritual truths with the spiritual language to those who possess the Holy Ghost. Go ahead. I'm talking a spiritual language here today. We're not talking in tongues, But he says the natural man, the non-spiritual man, does not accept or welcome or admit into his heart the gifts and the teaching and the revelations of the Spirit of God. I'm telling you, there are gifts that go that God gives. One of the gifts that God gives is ministering. We read that earlier. And I know that God has given me that gift. Otherwise, I couldn't do this. I'd probably work a job or make a business, computer program or something like that. But God put this in my heart. This is what I'm supposed to do. Amen. For they are folly. They are meaningless nonsense to him. You've had people, you've had friends come and say, I don't know what's the matter with that preacher, man. He's got too fries short of a happy meal. The elevator doesn't go up to the first floor. Man, he's crazy. Right? I ain't crazy. I'm preaching the word here. Hallelujah. Because they are spiritually discerned and estimated and appreciated. Go ahead to the next verse. But the spiritual man tries all the things. He investigates, he inquires into, he questions, and he discerns all things. And I need my wife to come. If she's around, she can hear me back there. If she hasn't turned it down, I need her to go ahead and come on out. Amen. I feel the moving of the Spirit here. Okay. Are you that spiritual man? Are you that spiritual woman? I'm going to stop right here. I'm not going to go. We're done. I want to ask you the question. Are you the spiritual man or woman willing to seek God with everything in your heart to see if what I told you is true? Say, well, it doesn't happen for me. Well, that's where your faith is on the word. Amen. If the word says it, choose to believe it. Faith is a choice. Let me say it again. Faith is a choice. You choose to have faith. You choose to believe the word. How many of you that when you began to have faith, God put a straitjacket around you and tied you up and threw you in a corner and says, that's how we're going to do it. That's how you're going to get. No, it was a voluntary thing. See, she heard me. Let's all stand. How many of you will try him to see if he's true? How many of them will say, yes, Lord, to your will and to your way? I know it's back here somewhere. In just a few minutes, you're just partially deaf, okay. In just a few minutes, I got a joy that's going to happen today. We're going to baptize our first girl that was born in this church. Amen. We're going to baptize Carmella. It wasn't too long ago. Carmella received the Holy Ghost. And we're going to baptize her in just a little bit. And they're getting plenty of time to set up the food. So we're going to eat. We're going to have fellowship. But right now, we need to apply ourselves. Amen. And I know that the sound system was on downstairs. So if you could bring the children up for altar service, it's time. I'm gonna say yes, Lord, yes, to your will. But Pastor, I just don't understand it. What did the scripture say? The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Don't worry about understanding. Quit trying to understand. And just stand on the promises. Where the word of God tells us some things. It tells us that the wind blows. And it does whatever it wants. And it says there's a sound. And it says that so is everybody that's born again of the Spirit. That there would be a sound. Obey the word where it says when they received the Holy Ghost, they began to speak in tongues. As the Spirit gave the utterance. Believe the word. Where it says, as they preached the word, Acts chapter 10, that the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Believe the word. in Acts chapter 11 when the apostle got in trouble and he was brought before the council. And he said, how were we to stop this? Because they got the Holy Ghost just like we did. There was no winds of fire. There was no tongues of fire. There was only speaking in tongues. Amen. How many can believe the promises of God? Let's come and let's gather around the front of the church. We'll have what we call our altar service, our time. This is your time to respond to the Spirit of God. This is your time to say, yes, Lord. This is your time to be refilled. If it's been a while since you spoke in tongues, just let the Lord refill you. Let the Lord renew you. Amen. If you want that refilling, if you want that renewing, if you want to be filled the first time, if you want to talk in tongues, just like the Bible says that you have the right to do. We just need to break loose and let God have his way. Amen.
Lord, I give you all the glory for all you've given me. You have filled my life until I overflow. All I have is yours to give. Any way you choose. Lord of all, so how can I say no? I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. If I never knew the fullness of living in your will, I would never know how rich my life would be. For the sharp blessings you have showered over me, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. Danny, when your spirit